It's Friday, January 29th, 2016, and welcome to episode 185 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers, the show about teaching and learning with technology. And this time we're going to be talking about creativity, makerspaces, and learning.
That's right. Kind of shaking it up a little bit and, you know, going outside the norm in the classroom. It's that time of year. We need new ideas.
Coming off a break and having some time to think. And it's been about a month and a half since we did our last podcast, so we got a little bit to catch up on. Specifically today, we're going to be talking about some projects. And these are recent projects. These are real projects. These are projects we do with our students. And in this particular episode, we're going to be talking about some of the visual aspects, and I will be providing some links in the show notes. So you may want to go out and refer to like the YouTube videos.
Yeah, this is one of those that visual aids helps.
Yes, it will help a lot as we kind of explain things. And we're going to be talking about stop motion video and Legos and makerspaces. And, you know, kind of tie some of those projects together because makerspaces are certainly something that's trending and really hot in K-12 education right now. Want to share some of the things we've done here at the ITC. And then, of course, we're going to be sharing our technology picks of the week.
We are. We've got a couple of cool things and have a theme we didn't even know that we were going to have.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a reading comprehension theme going on for our tech picks this week. So we didn't even coordinate before.
Nope.
So it just happened to work out that way. So sit back, relax, and here we go. In our first segment today, we're going to be talking about creativity, makerspaces, and learning.
These are the things that make it fun.
Right, making learning fun. And also, one of the big things is ownership, passing that ownership of learning totally on the student. You know, there's a big movement right now going on, particularly in K-12 education, about makerspaces and incorporating makerspaces for some unstructured learning experiences. Here at the ITC, the Instructional Technology Center, the ITC has always been a makerspace.
Right.
It's always about, in fact, our kind of one of our mottos is minds on always, hands on often.
Nice. I like that.
So what we try to do is incorporate learning experiences, and this is in support of a wide variety of curriculum, but, you know, provide those students the opportunities. And like I said, the ITC goes back decades.
Right.
So we've seen a number of innovations and evolutions of technologies over the years. And as I said, the makerspace is kind of one of the newer ones. And they're kind of trending a little bit more toward some of the electronics and gadgets and things. A lot of makerspaces are kind of highlighting that.
Yeah, a little more STEM.
Yeah, science, technology, engineering, and math. So they're kind of targeting that area. However, you know, there's all kinds of different makerspaces. I've seen makerspaces like with sewing machines. They're incorporating some of that because essentially a sewing machine today is computer driven.
Right. You know,
you can load images on and have them, you know, embroidery and all kinds of different things.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive when you look at just how the machinery has evolved. And it's one of those, too, it's like, things that could have gone, it's like the typewriter, you know, that we don't use a typewriter anymore, but it has evolved into what we use today. And to see how sewing machines and some of those old machines have evolved, but it's cool to see kids using them.
And then today, the other movement that's going on is the Internet of Things. Sometimes you may see IoT out there. It stands for Internet of Things. And basically, they're putting electronics in everything from refrigerators, cars, you know, whatever has some type of electronic component to it. So as we go on, the technology evolves and it's miniaturized. I mean, that's been a big part of it. We're able to do things that were impossible before.
And it's just, it's mainstreamed.
Right.
We don't even think about it. We just expect it to be in everything we do now.
So it's been a while. I think the middle of December was the last time we did a podcast. And if I remember right, we were talking about unplugging. I don't know. I haven't talked to you since then. I unplugged a little bit, and what that can do for your mind and creativity, it certainly helps me. There's just something about unplugging and getting away from some of the busyness to kind of just let your mind have some silence time, but subconsciously, you know, things are still churning in there.
Well, and especially during the holidays, you know, I always think I need to have my phone in case anybody in the family needs to reach me while I was with everybody in the family. So it was kind of cool just to let it sit on top of a hutch and not look at it, not think about it.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. So you did unplug for a little bit?
A little bit.
Was it hard?
Not as hard as, not when I was with the people that I am concerned about.
Yeah.
Now, if I was far away from them, it probably would have been hard. But, you know, like as a mom, both boys were there. And so I wasn't concerned in that. And that's not why I think I need to have my phone in case they reach. But, you know, there's always that funny thing where you leave your phone somewhere and then you go to get it and you're sure that a million people have tried to reach you and you've missed something really important and there's nothing on it whenever you get it. It's like, okay, yeah, that was all right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, this is the world our students are living in, this constant connectivity. And along those lines of unplugging, one of the things that we're doing here at the ITC is kind of having an additional mini makerspace or something. We're starting to dedicate maybe a little bit more resources to the science, technology, engineering, and math.
Right.
And just by coincidence and just kind of the way my mind works, I always try tying together different projects that I'm working on and just learn something. Today, right before we started this podcast, today's International
Lego Day. Yeah, that in 1958, on January 28th, the Lego block was patented.
That's a long time ago.
They have been around a long time.
That predates us.
It does.
Can't say that about too many things.
No,
but.
And we, you know, it's cool to see a toy that we had.
Yeah.
That kids are, you know,
and going
still playing
strong.
With today. Oh my gosh, but it's definitely changed. You know, that's a whole conversation too, where it was the unstructured sets
right.
when we were little.
Right.
And now they're very specific right. designs.
Well, it's been commercialized, and you name the subject. You know, we've got one here that we got was like on construction project, but they have Star Wars.
Right.
You know, just any type of topic.
And
the superheroes.
Right. And it's, well, shoot, there's a Simpsons set even in there.
Yeah.
But it's like you want it to be, there's something to be said for the free build, though, too, where you just have a pile of bricks. These have directions. It's almost like a puzzle. Every piece is intended to go in a specific place. So how much creativity is really involved with that?
Right.
Whenever you're, you know, doing it for that purpose.
Well, yeah. You know, are you one that reads the instructions and here's the set?
Right.
I never have been. It's like, get the instructions out of here. Just give me a pile of Legos and just build whatever you want freeform.
Well,
but our students today, I don't know that they often get, certainly in the classrooms, we don't provide enough opportunities for that unstructured learning.
No, and like when we were talking about, I said I had some of the Christmas sets that Lego puts out. And one set that I received for a gift had 6 books of instructions that you had to follow specifically to use a certain color, certain size here. And so, like I said, there's no free play with that. It's building and it's, you know, good focusing exercise and all that. But there's no creativity. I always like doing the big boards, the flat boards or the grids, and then even doing just a one-dimensional and then spelling out words on it and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing with the pieces and mixing them all up.
Yeah. Well, what kind of started this, and like I said, it's total coincidence that it's International Lego Day, but what started this was I had some students ask about stop-motion video. And, you know, there's tons, dozens of apps out there for doing that. But one of the issues, and again, technology people experience this all the time, it's like, okay, we have a cart of iPads, and if we do that, you know, this app's going to cost $3, although there's many that are free out there.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they're free, somebody has to take the time, set up, download those apps, you know, and we can spend 2-3 hours easily on a cart for maybe a 5 or 10 minute in-class activity. For, you know, a student using the apps and things. So got me to thinking, we have a ton of resources at our disposal and tools. And, of course, you know me, I can probably tie anything to OneNote.
Of course.
So
I'd be shocked if you didn't.
So what I did, in fact, I just wrote a blog post about this. You can actually use OneNote to make stop motion video. So I went through and did a quick little setup. It's something, OneNote's free. It's available. Now, this is the OneNote desktop program that I did. But again, with this creativity, don't limit yourself to the tools. You probably have a lot of things already. In fact, I just did another prototype. You can use PowerPoint very easily to make stop motion video. I'll show you that here in just a second.
Yeah, I would have never thought of that, but
But I guess we should back up a little bit. Stop motion is kind of like the animated cartoon characters where you set up a scene and then you take a photograph, you move the figure a little bit, and then take another photograph. So it's like a cartoon flip book.
So those cool old Christmas specials that we watched right. when we were little.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, cartoons going back forever. That's how they make cartoons. They drew one frame at a time, and then you just cycled through them.
Flip book, yeah.
Yep, flip book. That just gives tremendous flexibility. And then for, you know, tying this to an instructional learning goal and for teachers, even the Lego sets, you know, just free play and things like that, you can turn that into just about any type of lesson. Or I'm looking at you, I always think of English, you know, how could we do this storytelling, a lot of different things that you could do. Students, again, turning this ownership of learning over to the students, let them make their story up. Mm-hmm. And many students get very excited about, you know, having that free reign in learning. And you find people in your class that you thought they would never be interested, and they just kind of blossom when given that opportunity.
And they can focus and give, you know, the power of choice in the classroom.
Well, it's intrinsic motivation. Yeah.
And that, and so it may be that they didn't get the whole book that you read, the whole novel, the whole story, but there were pieces that they connected with. And so they can at least contribute in that way and not feel left out of the conversation.
Yeah.
So yeah, choice is always good.
And then from a teaching learning perspective, the physical manipulation of the objects with the hand and the connections. And, you know, we always talk about engagement. In order to learn something, you must first attend to
right.
it. You must pay attention to it. You must be engaged. And the question with some of these makerspace projects is to have a learning goal and kind of have the parameters for the guidelines, you know, without being too restrictive. You need to leave it open, but there needs to be some ultimate learning goal. Mm-hmm. In this case, what I was trying to demonstrate was some possibilities that, I mean, it could be anything that you want to make a stop motion video of. And in my blog post, I spell some of those out. You know, we're playing here with Legos, you know, quote unquote playing, mm-hmm. like that's a bad thing, but it's not. Especially for, you know, our younger students, and we need to provide that playtime.
Well, even, you know, something I've been thinking about recently is whenever we do something in a class, like, or I'll do something in a class or a workshop, and it's fun, and it has a point, but then I hear somebody talking about it, and they're like, you know, what were you doing? Oh, we just did this. And it's like, they don't realize they were learning something. And it's like, okay, did they learn anything? I struggle with that sometimes, like, did they get the point I was trying to make or not?
That's connecting to the curriculum piece for the learning goal that, as I said, we kind of need to make sure that doesn't get lost.
And right, so that's where I'm like, okay, at the end of the class, should I specifically point out that we did this to learn because you were learning this? And
right.
it's like, okay, I, you know, that I've recently just been thinking about that to really spell out.
In instructional design, we call that transference. You know,
right.
how can we transfer, you know, what is learned to another thing? And again, we're so guilty, I think, as educators of just covering the chapter in the book or something. Okay, chapter 3 is done. Let's go to chapter 4. And we don't make those mm-hmm. connections. It's kind of a cycle through. And learning requires repeat cycles. I mean,
right.
that's how we learn. So, you know, sometimes we're guilty of that. So what I did in the blog post, and I'll provide a link in the show notes to it, I just mentioned some tie-ins to it. And whenever that light bulb goes on in either a teacher or a student's head, it's like, oh, I can use OneNote for that. And it's like, well, I'm studying biology and we're doing cell mitosis and I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's make a series of 4, 5, or 6 still drawings, put mm-hmm. it into OneNote or PowerPoint and cycle through those. That becomes a study aid at that point.
Sure.
And if you are physically creating, either, you know, creating those drawings with pen, paper, pencil, or digital ink, whatever
yeah.
it may be, that's the engagement of the hand, the mind. You're internalizing that.
Yeah, they're going to remember that.
Right, right.
And they're going to remember the process. It's not going to be just a matter of recalling the facts and regurgitating. It's like, it's going to be this whole process they've put together.
That's
in their
the
head.
Engagement piece. You have to, again, the attending to whatever
right.
it is, because so much will, you know, will be guilty. Well, here's the great big picture of a cell, and it's like, here, you know, here's the different pieces and things that they weigh, the way that they move. And if it's nothing more, you know, we can make flashcards
mm-hmm.
with something. You know, have the picture of the cell. We always see the line drawn from the picture.
Yes,
you know, here's,
label this,
yeah,
label
what
that.
Is this phase, you know, whatever it is. And like I said, the stop motion works very well, or a flashcard type. I mean, we've been using that for years. So it opens up some new possibilities and probably some very unconventional approaches that you may or may not have thought mm-hmm. of before. So I just want to throw that out with some of the possibilities. Now, I'm going to do a dangerous thing here, and I will do the best to explain this, but we can do a lot of these things with the tools that we have. So I just mentioned PowerPoint.
Yes.
So again, I have this fully documented in a blog post, but first, the first challenge for this little Lego project that we did was to, I had one of my graduate assistants set up a little Lego scene and then take the different pictures. She ended up taking like 24 still image pictures. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to pose the figures, take a picture, pose it again. So she did that, and we just used a digital still camera, and then I just simply copied the files off the card, you know, in order, numerical mm-hmm. order, you know, digital camera, say, like image 1, 2, 3, or, you know, in this case, 3,000, right. 200, whatever image you're on. But it must be in order, obviously, to make sense for the animation. So, you know, I shared how to do it with OneNote, but let's just go in here to PowerPoint. Because there's a feature in PowerPoint that I don't think many teachers know that makes it so easy. And then I'll give a plug here for Office Mix as well. So I just opened up PowerPoint. I happen to be using the latest one, 2016, but this also works in 2013. And it's been a while, but I believe it also works in 2010. So I'm going to go out here. I've got a blank slide. If I go to the Insert, on the Insert tab, there is a little pull-down menu that says Photo Album. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, let's make a new photo album. Like, huh? Where am I going with this? She says.
I've never noticed a photo album. Oh, it's photo album option in PowerPoint.
Extremely useful for teachers. Now, huh. I'm going to hijack it and use it for stop motion video here, but it says album content, insert from file or disk. Yes, I've got my files copied into a folder in my pictures folder, and I've got a little Lego, if I can find it here, a little Lego folder right here. And right here it says Lego's PowerPoint images. Mm-hmm. These are the 24 still images that she took. So I'm going to hit Control A to select all of them. Say Insert. It goes out there, inserts. I have 24 slides now. Actually, I have 25 slides because the first slide is the title slide. Mm-hmm. So I've got all of these pictures out here. I'm going to say Create My Photo Album. It goes out there and inserts. I said Fit to Slide. So mm-hmm. the picture takes up the full screen. So here it says Photo Album by Tom Grissom. I can change this. It's just a PowerPoint file. But if I go to slide number 2, which is the first image in my animation, right here we go. All right. So I'm going to go full screen right now. Press F5 is my shortcut.
Right.
There's my first title slide. And if I just use the arrow key or space bar or anything, slide 1, slide 2, slide 3. And what she's seen is the little animated characters. Mm-hmm. And like right there, I've got a guy using a jackhammer. So I can just go forward, back, forward, back, forward, back, forward, back, forward, back. So he's jackhammering the concrete or whatever. And then just cycle through. And I have a nice little animated PowerPoint. Here's the little bulldozer coming up and scooping up the guy back up. So it's that easy, and that's just PowerPoint. Everybody,
and if you wanted to, you could set up the automatic timer that they advanced.
Yeah, like 1 second or half. I haven't tried that. Yeah. That would be a good thing. I don't know how if I can go sub-second or not. Now, another plug here for Office Mix, mm-hmm. because kind of the point of this is to have a final product. You know, I'm sitting here manipulating this with, you know, with my hands using the space bar or the arrow keys or whatever to advance from slide to slide. But if I go to, let me go back to my slide here, my first animated picture here, which, as I said, slide 2, because slide 1 is the title slide. Let me go to my Office Mix. And Office Mix, this is a free plugin for PowerPoint 2013 and 2016. I have a free screen recording program.
Nice.
So I'm going to go up here. I'm going to select my area. Since I'm doing full screen, I'm going to select the full screen to record. I'm going to hit record. And it'll come out here and bring up the slides and bring up my PowerPoint. There it is. Full screen mode. First slide, second slide, third slide, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. All right.
Is it recording your voice?
It's recording my voice right now. So, I mean, that's the only thing that what I would do is I put some background music mm-hmm. or something on here. But I'm recording now. So now that I am done, I'm going to come up here and say stop. That was 20 seconds worth of recording. So now I'm going to come back over here to my Office Mix plugin. Let's export this video, export to video. I don't need to record in 1080p. I'm going to do 720p. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nothing high definition or anything. So I'll come out here, give it a name, photo album, put today's date on it, save that. And you can see that it's rendering. So it's exporting this little 30 seconds worth of video. And this will take it a couple minutes to do this. So as soon as this finishes recording, I'm going to have an MP4 file. In PowerPoint 2016, I can trim off because, we had some downtime there at the beginning before I recorded and after. So I can actually trim this whenever this finishes or take it into like Movie Maker or something, you know, whatever I want, add music, you know, turn anything that I want. So,
now what's the advantage to Office Mix over just simply recording it in PowerPoint?
It records it as an MP4 file, and the MP4 file is embedded in PowerPoint as though I did it.
So when you record, because I've recorded PowerPoint presentations before and done narration over them and had automatic timed and stuff.
But it's a PowerPoint file.
Got it.
At that point, this is turning it into an MP4 video file.
Got it.
So it's video. I can turn it any which way but loose.
Right.
And then the other advantage is, somebody doesn't have to have PowerPoint.
Yeah.
And then since it's an MP4 file, I can turn this around into another PowerPoint and insert the MP4 file.
Yeah.
So here it is. It's done. It's embedded here as a full screen.
Makes for riveting podcast as well.
I'll put some links out there for how I do this. But you can see right here, it's recording the screen.
Right.
So right here, I'm getting close. So right there's a photo album. I'm going to stop right there. And those 24 frames ended up into about 8 seconds of video.
Yeah.
and you can cycle through faster or slower, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So there it is. And I have my stop motion video.
Very cool.
So I don't know what that takes us, 2-3 minutes for me to explain, how to import those pictures. I'm not going to say how long it takes to pose the individual figures.
Yeah.
That's the creativity part,
right.
Making a script. There's just storytelling. There's just so many tie-ins to curriculum
that you
can make for any subject area.
Well, I'm thinking all the video or all the time-lapse photography we've seen of the blizzard on the East Coast last week. And how many people had things they put online of the snow accumulating at their homes and all that. So there's a lot of cool things you can do with that.
In our makerspaces, and as I said, you could buy the apps and things, and I've got a couple of apps both for PCs and for iPads that make it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll provide a link out there to the blog post so you can see the final product of some of the stop motion animation and things. So. Just makes for a fun little project and encourage you to try some of these and some of the unstructured activities with parameters for your learning goals and kind of what you said earlier. It's like, I wonder if they got the point, for doing that and, time on task.
Right. And that's what I worry about. It's like, okay, I compare it to feeding kids vegetables and not telling them. Do you have to tell them there's vegetables in it?
That's good. Carrots are good
for you. Do
you
tell them before? Do you wait and tell them afterwards, hey, you just ate vegetables? And so I guess maybe because we're at a teacher's college, it's different too, because it's the pedagogy of it when I'm working with students and with teachers to say, okay, that was fun. You didn't feel like you were learning, but you were. This is what we achieved, where you don't necessarily need to do that with students.
Right.
But then also the students who walk out of the room and say, well, we didn't do anything but this. And it's like, oh, come on.
Right.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Yeah. So as I said, kind of the big point here is that transference. So, if we teach these skills and our teachers, they use the ITC as a resource center. So they're doing presentations, working on portfolio projects and all kinds of different things all of the time. They make that connection. And that's the joy and fun of teaching and learning, is to kind of spark that interest and get students to come up. Hey, Dr. Grissom, I remember when you showed this, here's my project. And that's just like the ultimate, ultimate compliment.
Absolutely.
For a teacher. Talked a little bit about creativity and makerspaces and learning and putting the that ownership in particular on the student. Of course, depends upon age, so age appropriateness, but just all kinds of possibilities that we have today. And with just a little bit of technology and a little bit of tech flair, I guess the last thing that I could say here with this Office Mix plugin and screencasting that we just did, give me 15 minutes and this can be up to YouTube for the world to see. So it's that collaboration piece and sharing out there as well. And it would happen quicker. It just takes time for YouTube to process and render that video.
Mm.
So these tools are out there. They're available. As I said, it's probably some unconventional choices there for PowerPoint and OneNote, but there's also plenty of apps and things available out there. So I just wanted to share that with you. And if you have some examples, some stop motion videos or things tied to the curriculum, I'd love to see that. We could share those, in our show notes. I will leave it here and wrap it up. technology pick of the week this week is another application, a plug-in that's just hot off the press, just happened this week. And once again, deals with OneNote. I'm sorry.
Shocker.
I'm sorry. This one's getting a lot of press. It's the press release has kind of gone viral, and there's actually an article from Forbes, and I'll include it in the show notes. But the title of this Forbes article is "Learning Tools for Microsoft OneNote May Be One of the Most Disruptive Education Technologies Yet." It's getting a lot of play out there on Twitter, especially in my personal learning network. Yeah. And, you know, a bit of a hyperbole there, I think, in doing it. But what this plug-in does, it's called Learning Tools, but it was designed for dyslexic students that have trouble reading.
Nice.
And add some reading comprehension tools and things like that. So it's going to be applicable across a number of different grade levels.
Sure.
Age appropriateness, and I can actually see this with my grandchildren, teaching them to read. Uses a lot of research, reading research out there, breaks things down into syllables. I'll just jump over here to OneNote, and again, I will provide a link to the article in the show notes, and so you can actually see this. I know it's difficult on an audio podcast, but if I jump over to OneNote here, I just did a copy and paste, just a paragraph from the ITC page, pasted it into OneNote. And as I said, this is a free plugin. It's in preview right now. So they're still working out some of the issues. But there's something called Immersive Reader. So I've got my block of text highlighted. And whenever I go into Immersive Reader, you've got your choice of either a light background or a dark background. You know, some people prefer one or the other.
Right.
And then it's got a little play button down at the bottom. And if I've got everything wired up, you should be able to hear this. It's going to be a computer synthesized voice.
Want to keep up with all the happenings at the ITC this semester? Follow along with new developments by using this OneNote notebook view only link shared above.
All right, so I'm going to stop that. But you also have some setting features where I can change my voice speed. So we can listen much quicker. So I'm just going to bump that speed up.
Want to keep up with all the happenings at the ITC this semester? Follow along with new developments by using this OneNote notebook view only link shared above.
All right, now again, I'll stop that there. But what you can't see is every time it reads a word, it's highlighting the words.
Right.
So it's your eye tracking. They're following along. So for new readers or, again, you know, dyslexic students.
So they're getting the audio and the visual at the same time.
Right. So the other thing that it has, there's a little book icon up here that kind of settings. They have a comprehension mode, and whenever I click on that comprehension mode, it highlights, in this case red, the transition phrases. So again, whenever I click play and read, it kind of directs the learner, okay, we're making a transition in this sentence. So it says, want to keep up with all the happenings at the ITC this semester, and the word keep is in red. And then you have syllables, so if you want to break things down for syllables to read and pronounce things phonetically, mm-hmm. And then the English teacher, where's my nouns, verbs, and adjectives, and does things color-coded.
It's your composition, yeah.
So
a lot of different applications.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited. It's a nice tool, again, particularly for reading comprehension. But the other thing that's added, which I'm also excited about, is I'm going to go to a OneNote page here and just add my cursor. Let me get rid of this block of text. Add my cursor on a blank page, and I'm going to have you experiment. You've never done this before. First time we're doing this live podcasting. So going to come out here and go to my learning tools. There's a dictation function.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, in my past experience, what little I've played with this tool, I'm going to guess about 60% or so accuracy.
Right.
If I talk in my normal rhythm and tone, I tend to talk a little bit fast. So I'm going to slow down my talking a little bit and let it understand me because this is voice recognition. So I go up to the Learning Tools tab, and it brings up Immersive Reader, Dictate Settings, and Beta Feedback because this is a preview product. But if I go to Dictate, now as soon as I press this Dictate button, it's going to start listening, and it's going to be doing voice-to-text recognition. So I'm going to talk slowly and enunciate.
Okay.
But the other thing I need to tell the audience is this required me, first time I tried this, it didn't work. This required me to log into my Office 365 account in this case, so it must be doing some type of cloud processing in the background. So it didn't require that for the Immersive Reader, but to use the Dictate function, I do have to log into the Microsoft account. All right, so I'm going to hit Dictate here. This is a test. I'm just testing, showing Cindy a demonstration of using the dictation feature. learning tools dictate, and I'm going to let you speak.
And this is my chance to dictate something to the computer, and I'm going to say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That's not fair. That's not fair. Poor computer. All right. And I'm going to go to learning tools, click dictate again, and that stops it. It did very well. Okay, we were talking probably a little slower than we do in our normal voice. And this is my chance to dictate something to the computer, and I'm going to say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That's pretty close.
It did.
That's amazing.
Got it. And it did it all as one word. It didn't split it up, so I'm impressed.
Now, that's using my voice. That's using a completely, male and female voice.
Yeah.
There was no voice training at all. It does a pretty good job, but like I say, I tend to talk a little bit fast, and if I talk at my normal pace, the accuracy obviously goes down a little bit. The other nice thing, I'll just mention this because these things just pop in my head as I'm explaining some of the different features. I can come up here, and there's also in OneNote a translate feature. Because I do a lot of work globally, with different languages, German, French, you see a tweet or something out there, mm-hmm. and it's like, I don't know what that says. You can copy and paste the text in and then do a translate. In this case, it's English. And then over here's my translation, so I can go from English to French, mm-hmm. or vice versa. If that was French, I could go to French to English. Very versatile program. Huge fan of OneNote out there. Always have been. Just so many possibilities for teaching and learning. And this new technology pick of the week, this learning tools plug-in, obviously has a lot of applications across the curriculum. So
yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out.
Okay. Cindy, what's your tech pick this week?
Well, while we're on the topic of reading and interactive reading, yesterday the Library of Congress had an event where they have books in the rare book collection of children's literature that have been digitized. And so these are children's books from the late 1800s, early 1900s. They're mm-hmm. very cool to look at. But they're in this digital format now. Anybody can get, there's a whole huge list of them. They're in PDF or page turner view, so you can look at them online. But they just did a brand new partnership with an app called Storybug, and they've put four of those books, and you can find, we'll put a link in for the press release and information about it. But it's an interactive reading app where, maybe with grandparents or anybody, they have books in there. And these from the Library of Congress are free. I think from the app you can buy things as well. Mm-hmm. But these books are free. And you can, basically it's a screen sharing video chat that two people in two different locations right. can read a book together and follow together. And you can customize the background. But I just think it's a really neat. Yeah, we can do it in FaceTime and things like that and Skype where you hold up the book and all. But this, they're actually holding and seeing the pages mm-hmm. in front of them just like mm-hmm. you are. And so it's simultaneous. Mm-hmm. And then you can also record yourself reading mm-hmm. the other books.
So like a shared family experience
right,
or something.
Absolutely. And it's just kind of cool to see these books from, a book from, one of the titles is Gobo Links or Shadow Pictures for Young and Old. And they're ink blots, basically. And you go through it. I'm going to show you while we're sitting here. And you imagine.
Looks like a lobster.
You imagine what the ink blots.
Looks like an alien.
This is not a psychological test.
Okay, I failed.
Just, but, to be able to do this with a child or whoever and go through and look at these books. Yeah. And so it's like you have these books from a book from 1896.
That's really interesting. Sometimes we just need to pause and think about the amazing times that we live in. So here's a situation where, a family member, grandparent, and, their grandchild lives across the country. They can be experiencing this very close family time, reading, spending time, attention for the child and encouraging the lifelong skill
right.
of reading.
Well, and this is a book that's 120 years old.
Right. And that's the other thing I was getting ready to say. It's like, here we are in 2016, mm-hmm. going back 20 years
yes.
plus, and just having these cross time, time and place, you know, just doesn't mean what it used to.
Yeah, something that not time only travel. Parents, grandparents, but even great-grandparents, you know, and that could have read some of these books. And so it's a neat way of putting, you know, we've got all these brand new, modern, new things. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to see how technology is putting some of these artifacts into the hands of kids.
The important thing for the child there, and this is always true, I always said actions speak louder than words, that child is experiencing that quality time with the grandparent, and in this case, you know, modeling reading and the importance, what that sends to the child of doing it, and, you know, hopefully instilling that love of reading for a lifetime.
So very cool. So it's digitized historic children's literature.
We'll have a link in the show notes for that. That wraps it up for episode 185 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. If you have a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on our Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom.
And Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.